Last Sunday we looked at probably the key verse or one of the key verses in the book of Proverbs. We've looked at two of them. The first one is, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. Last Sunday we looked at, if you turn at my reproof, I will pour out my spirit to you. What an incredible promise that is from God. He's saying, if you turn at my correction, at my reproof, he will pour out his spirit to us. And I'm sure if you have turned at God's reproof, you will know the reality of this. I recall very clearly one morning, I've told you before, in my study, being very low in spirit, very crushed, very discouraged, depressed at things that were being said about me, and feeling very, perhaps a little sorry for myself. And then reading, when people say all sorts of things against you falsely on my account, leap for joy. Oh, what? Leap for joy? And then I actually did what God said, and incredible things happened. The Holy Spirit was just poured out onto me. See, when you turn at his reproof, his correction, when you do exactly what he says, he promises to pour out the Holy Spirit upon us. What a wonderful text of scripture that is. But of course, you won't do that unless you truly fear God. If you think, oh, well, that's a bit too much, you're actually taking the place of God. You are playing God yourself. And I was talking to a young person this week who's struggling with many things. And one of the key things this person is struggling with is actually submitting to God, yielding to God completely. He's trying to be God. He's trying to tell God what he should do. For me, God actually tells us what we should do. And when we do what he does, as we're going to see in this passage, amazing things happen. You know, in our lives, it is so easy to fall back into the natural position. And that is sin, holding on to hurts, feeling hardly done by, allowing unforgiveness. These are common things. We all struggle with these things when we're hurt by people. Rejecting authority. And it's so easy to do that. You know, you're driving along the road and it says 40 kilometres an hour. Surely there's nobody around. You know? We all struggle, don't we? Because it's the natural position of man to be in independence, to act on his own authority, not on the authority of others and God himself. And God says, when you turn, when you repent at my correction, I'll pour out my spirit to you. Well, these are easily embraced. Why do we embrace these things? Because there is a deceiver in this world. The Bible tells us. There is a father of lies. Oh, nothing will happen to you. You're okay. Don't worry about it. Even people can say that to you when you go up to them and say, look, I'm really sorry. I got criticized. Oh, don't worry about it. No, I do worry about it, because God wants me to walk before him, not before you. And when we repent, we actually reject the rule of Satan. We reject him. We say, you are no longer going to rule me. That's when we repent. And God promises, when we do this, to pour his spirit upon us. Now, today we're looking at the second chapter of Proverbs. We begin to look at this. And remember, we've started this whole series of looking at Proverbs for the purpose of gaining wisdom, because we can see that our world is becoming foolish. But not just the world, the church itself, we as Christians can be foolish. There's a slide that I wanted, just one slide of the 10 virgins story. And this story has been so impacting me for the last year or so. Jesus told a story about 10 virgins. So they were obviously people keeping themselves pure, virgins. But five of them were foolish and five of them were wise. And I was thinking, right, Lord, we want to be the wise virgins. What were the wise virgins doing? Well, they were doing what they knew was needed. They needed oil in their lamp. And that oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And how do you get the Holy Spirit? Well, we'll see as we go through this. We repent of going our own way. We do what God says. Instead, he says he'll pour his Spirit upon us. And we have to ask him. We have to ask God. Do you know, going to someone and asking them for help is actually a declaration of humility. I can't do it. Isn't that true? I remember at university when I used to be in lectures there, everybody would sit there very quietly as the lecturer went on with all sorts of fascinating information about the origins of town planning and the instigation of all sorts of theories of this and that. And most of us, we didn't understand what he was talking about. Then finally somebody will put up their hand and say, actually, I'm not sure I understand fully. Everybody look around. And then at the end of the lecture, because I used to be the person putting my hand sometimes, I got free because of Jesus. You see, I put up my hand. And after the lecture, thanks for asking that question. I didn't understand either. See, asking for help is a sign of dependence and need. And it's actually what God wants us to do. And these virgins who were wise, I believe, were constantly asking God to equip them with the Holy Spirit, that they would have oil in their lamps and they would be burning brightly in the midst of a dark time that was coming on the earth. And that's happening right now, friends. Well, here we are in Proverbs chapter 2. We start off with this, my son. Well, there's a son of mine over there, my son. If you go to Proverbs 4, it starts with, hear, O sons, a father's instruction. So, fathers giving instruction to his son, my son. Do you know, I have gained so much blessing from going to older Christians than myself and having fellowship with them and gaining from them insights, an understanding of life and God and all kinds of things, which I didn't have to go through the process of learning myself. I got it from them. If we're willing to listen. And this is what Proverbs is full of, actually. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you. I think Lamb preached beautifully about our willingness to listen. We have to listen, don't we? We've got to listen to somebody else. And here is God speaking through my son. If you receive my words, he's addressing us as his children, and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom. Attentive to wisdom. What is that? We're going to find in this book, as I said in the first few messages, wisdom is not a theory. It's not a philosophy. Wisdom is a person. Wisdom is actually, and it's quite clearly illustrated as a person. Both feminine and masculine qualities actually in this person are brought out in the book of Proverbs. And of course, as we learn in the New Testament, Colossians, all the treasures of wisdom are in Jesus. It's a person. If you make your ear attentive to, you could say, Jesus. Incline your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice. And I watched the congregation today singing, I just want to be a sheep. Thank you for doing that. Lots of people doing this. I just want to be a sheep. It's humbling to do this. It is. But it's good for you. Because we are just children. We are so easily led astray like sheep. And we need to cry out. That's what children do. We've had four of them in our house, you know. Anthony saw them this morning. And they cry out when they're in trouble. They bash each other up too and cry out too. They cry. They don't hold it in. Are you going through troubles? Have a read of the Psalms. I remember a beautiful prayer meeting we had in our creche some years ago. And Yawarraga, who's now in heaven with Jesus, this beautiful lady, she was on the floor crying out to God, not at the top of her voice, but with a very loud cry to him. And you could feel the connection that was being made in that room because it was real. It was genuine. And God is not just wanting us to whisper to him. You know, on Wednesday night, we had a wonderful prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I just encourage you to come to prayer meetings. Hopefully we'll have more in physical ones, but come online when you can, because God meets us every time in these prayer meetings. Oh, yes, people say to me, oh, but I was put off by something that somebody said in a prayer meeting. I think, oh, dear. We all make mistakes, all of us, but God doesn't make any mistakes. If you seek God, you'll hear him. And we had a wonderful prayer meeting, and God led us to Isaiah chapter 30. It says there in verse 18, the Lord is waiting to be gracious to us. And verse 9, you see, he'll surely hear you at the sound of your... What do you think the next word says? Cry. If you truly cry out to God, if it's genuine, you're going to see God come into action. Remember, we've got the story of Enda Coghill as a little girl praying for 10 days to God for her mum. And I'm sure you've got testimonies. I certainly do have my own. God loves us to be honest with him and to bring before him. If you seek it like silver, search for it as for hidden treasure. You see, God wants to give us treasure. That's what Jesus was talking about here in the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. And God wants to give this to you. And it's way better than any of the houses I lived in, friends. And I wanted you to see the houses I lived in, because most of the big houses I lived in were lonely places. I have to tell you this. And the reason I've loved living in this house over here is we had three boys in one room, two girls in another. They used to fight each other. I used to fight with them too. We used to wrestle in the bedrooms. We had wrestling matches. Because, you know, Jesus chose what sort of a house to live in? A stable when he was born. He chose the refugee camp. And he said, come. Follow me. It's a bit challenging, isn't it? Come, follow me. Don't seek after the riches of this world. Seek after the treasures that are in heaven. The treasures. He wants to give us treasures. And he says there, as he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. When he found it, then in his joy, he goes and sells everything else. When you find the treasure God gives, you will not want any other treasure to get in your way. Because this treasure is eternal. It can't be burnt up. It can't be stolen. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? You know, if you store up treasures on earth, the thief will break in and steal. But the treasures that you store up in heaven, they can't be stolen. If you search for it. Oh, how we need to teach our children this in this nation. In fact, we were talking in a mission committee on Wednesday. We've got to get mission from our congregation into refugee camps. You need to experience the joy of going to a refugee camp. You know, the world will tell you, oh, it's a terrible place and all the rest of it. Well, there are certainly lots of suffering. Absolutely there is. But there's also amazing faith expressed in people who live in these places. And we need to get out of our comfort zones, because we will easily be suffocated by the materialistic aims of our world. And we'll miss out on the treasure, the real treasure that lasts forever. And it's out of the comfort zone. It is. It's out of the comfort zone. Because if you seek for it like silver, well, you go to a mining person, and particularly in the early days when people went searching for gold and silver and other things, they gave up everything to find this treasure. Raise your voice for understanding, seek it like silver, search for it as a hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Dear friends, the greatest thing you can ever know is God. The greatest thing you can ever know is God himself. And it's not just a whole lot of theories up in your head. It's knowing him personally, intimately, as Jesus intended when he rose from the dead and he appears to Mary Magdalene there by the tomb, who's suddenly aware that he's alive. This man who delivered her from all these demons has conquered death itself. And she just wants to hang on to him. He said, don't touch me, don't hold me. I've not ascended to my Father and your Father. Now he's your Father. I've made it possible for you to come to God as your own Father. You can enter boldly into his sanctuary. Through the blood I've shed for you, you can have intimate fellowship with God. That's for you. That's what Jesus has done to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. You see, Jesus wants to connect us with God himself so we know God, personally know him. And this is what this proverb is telling us. If you seek it like silver, search for it for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And that will be like treasure hidden in a field. You'll want to sell everything else and buy that field. Now, where do you think you're going to find him? In his house. And as I said to the children, where is his house? Dear friends, I pray on Thursday night with farmers up in north Victoria. I pray on Wednesday night with Lamb and a group of people. I pray every morning with my friends. And every time I go and pray, I meet God. How are you going? Where's your attention? Where's your devotion? If you seek for it like silver. You'll know God. You'll know him as your Father. You'll know him as your shepherd. There is no greater thing to know than this. Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And this is not studied in a theological college, although I don't want to stop people going there. Go and study the Bible. Give yourself to it. This is found in the house of prayer. This is found where you seek God yourself. For the Lord, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. There it is. The Lord gives wisdom. That's where it comes from. It doesn't come from you know, doing more degrees at university or studying more or anything or even reading the Bible. The Lord himself gives wisdom. He imparts it personally to you. How to love your wife. How to raise your family. He'll tell you at a time you're sitting there in a magnificent institution, perhaps the most significant institution for education for young boys in our city, according to the worldly way, and you say, not here, my friend. He'll tell you, if you listen to him, and he'll lead you into the place where you will discover him. You'll find him. For he gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge. Out of his mouth, Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Of course, we have it recorded in the scriptures, but the Holy Spirit also comes to us with insight and understanding and wisdom. He gives it to those who seek him. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity. Well, I was reflecting on this verse, Alex. I think you will know this verse because driving on a particular freeway there from Baroda to Umdabud, I think the Lord was a shield. Unbelievable shield. Yeah, if we walk in integrity, if we walk honestly, truly, if we deal with our sins, if we seek God truly, he will look after us. He has promised to do this. Guarding the paths of justice, watching over the way of his saints. He watches over us. He's a living God. And he wants you to be safe. Absolutely. He wants everyone in this room safe. And there are troubles coming on this earth that are going to shake people with fear of what's coming on the earth. But he wants you to be safe because he's a loving Father. And like the five wise virgins, my encouragement to each one of you is don't race through your day without seeking God first. Get oil in your lamp. Keep it burning. You can only get it from him. And he will watch over his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart. Now, isn't that interesting? It didn't say wisdom will come into your mind. Wisdom will come into your heart. And this word in the Hebrew is the center of our being. It's more, the mind is a vital tool, absolutely. And it's like a filing cabinet. Whatever you put into it is there. If you put rubbish into it, well, rubbish will be there for you to pull out. If you put the word of God into it, it'll be there to pull out when you need it. The Holy Spirit will say, whoop, there it is. This is the verse for the situation. The mind is a tool, but the heart is the center of our being. It's connected to the soul, the psyche of man, which is eternal. The soul is eternal. It will go to one of two places, heaven or hell. And God wants us safe. We've just read it here. He wants us in heaven. But he doesn't want us to forget there is a hell. And in Noah's day, there were not many people who were safe, were there? Well, the same is true. Jesus said it will be like the days of Noah. Wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, That part of this eternal. You will know that you are safe in the hands of God. There's nothing like having a hug from your heavenly Father. And Daniel received that hug, didn't he? When he fasted and prayed for 21 days, there was a battle going on in heaven and spiritual forces of darkness on the earth were trying to keep back God's angel coming through. But finally, the angel broke through and came. And what did he say? The first thing he said to Daniel, oh, man, greatly loved. Would you like to hear that from God? Whew, I think that'd be a big hug, wouldn't it? Well, God wants to do that for you and me. And that's a deep sense of knowing him. loving you personally. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. Notice these things are coming from outside. Not from you. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. It's God's understanding. It's his discretion. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am the one who contains all the wisdom. All the treasures of wisdom are found in Jesus. If you're in a close relationship with Jesus, you will be safe forever. Forever and ever and ever. You will be safe. Delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness. Well, that's certainly happening today, isn't it? As I said in the first message of this, look what is happening. We've made killing babies an illegal thing. We've made marriage into a complete destructive influence that we're telling children they can change their gender. We're being foolish. Darkness, who rejoice at doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. That's happening, isn't it? People delighting in the perverseness of evil. Men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. And that's certainly true today. People are devious. They're operating under the devil's influence, and he is crafty and he's devious. But the person who pursues this person of wisdom is going to be kept safe from all this. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman. Now, dear ladies, read the book of Proverbs. If you want to be a godly woman, read the book of Proverbs. It's got so much to say about women. In fact, it ends with the most magnificent description of a godly woman, doesn't it? Proverbs 31, verse 10 to the end. But actually, all through this book, it reveals the different kinds of women that can live in this world. And here we have the forbidden woman, the adulteress with her smooth words. The person who rejects the covenant, there in verse 17, forgets the covenant of her God. Marriage is a covenant precious to God. He established it in the beginning. It is so precious to him. Marriage reflects true marriage, Christian marriage, where the Holy Spirit is there. There are three persons, husband, wife, and God. It reflects God's character. It is extremely precious to God. Well, this woman rejects this. And she's smooth with her words. She's very, you know, outwardly appears very nice, but she forsakes what is precious to God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So men, be very careful what sort of a woman you attach yourself to. Young men particularly, seek after that woman who loves God. I've got one. And she's so precious to me. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land. They will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. That word integrity, it comes through, doesn't it? Again and again. You know, you meet someone of integrity. It's like a blameless person, isn't it? Similar sort of emphasis, integrity and blamelessness. It doesn't mean they don't sin, because we all sin, but they deal with it. They apologize when they sin. They've got integrity. And you can trust them. Those with integrity will remain in the land, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. You know, we can see people being treacherous. We can see people being wicked and rejecting God and pursuing their own way and making all these laws that absolutely oppose the truth about God. But God will have the final say. He is God. There is a judge. God is the judge. Understanding that God is a judge produces in us a right fear of God, not a fear because he's a father and he loves us, but understanding he is a judge. Wisdom comes when we seek for it as for hidden treasure. As it describes in this passage, wisdom is found by those who seek God. Because the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which when a man found and covered it up, and in his joy he goes and sells all that he has. If you've found this treasure, don't let the world creep in and rob you of the joy of having that treasure rich in your heart, having your focus upon it, because you will be given incredible wisdom in the midst of a world that is falling apart. We have a good God. He loves each one of us. He wants us to be safe, and he says in this book, seek wisdom. That wisdom is a person, my son, the Lord Jesus. Let's pray.